Welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the undarkened corridors of power and we shine a light on the path ahead of us to where evolution is leading. Now, the purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than just defend positions. We have another purpose also, and that is to provide context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. So welcome to our New Year's show. You know, many years ago, back when I was a teacher, I had a wonderful colleague who loved to channel Mel Brooks's 2,000-year-old man character, who for some reason spoke with a Yiddish accent. Well, one day I saw my friend, and I knew he was considering switching schools, so I asked him, "So what are you doing next year?" And he replied with that great accent, "Oh, they're having another one." So as we come to the end of another intense and challenging year, where you can say both it was the best of times and the worst of times, yes, we're having another one. Our guest today is my longtime friend and colleague, Janine Just, who is going to help us navigate this new year through her deep wisdom and intuition. She came on my radar just a short while ago when I watched an intriguing and inspiring movie. We'll have a link to that on our site. We the People, Re-Evolution of Politics and Economics, co-produced by Sharon Stone. I saw Janine was one of the featured luminaries, and so I decided to contact her, and here she is. Janine Just is a visionary success strategist, and she describes herself as a practical futurist with common sense approaches to today's complex issues. She has over 35 years experience working with thousands of clients, and the Los Angeles Times called her a trailblazer and a catalyst for change. Each year, she creates her luminosity vision to help guide people through the new year so they achieve maximum joy, success, and service. And since this is a new year, we'll be talking about this coming year, 2019, not so much predictions as preparations. Welcome, Janine.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back with you again.
That's good.
It's an amazing time to be on this planet, huh?
Given the alternatives, I think you're right.
Well, I love your intro with the music and all of that. I love the words that you had on there because you just nailed it. It was every word was like important, and the concepts that you were getting across were right on. And of course, I've always enjoyed your spontaneous evolution, and last year, I don't know how many of them got sold, but I had you featured in Vision 2018 as something that people should purchase to understand what was going on.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And, you know, our book is going to, we're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary in 2019. We've sold a lot of books. We're in 26 languages now. So I really appreciate your appreciation of it. It was a labor of love, and all of my work for the past 10 years has really flowed from what I learned writing that book. And that's why we're talking today. And the movie that you were in, Re-Evolution of Politics and Economics. Tell us how the movie came about, the movie, and how you came to be involved with it.
Well, I met Emmanuel, who is the producer, the concept. This is his fifth documentary. And we were in a documentary together back in 2016, and we debuted in Long Beach, California at a theater, and there were 14 visionaries featured in there with different facets of information that could give people choices about, you know, options that they could get involved with in the in their futures. And when Emmanuel and I met, it was just instant. I mean, it was like we had soul contract. And so he said, I want you in my next documentary. So right about now in 2016, I drove from my mountain home in Southern California up to Santa Barbara and spent an afternoon with him. And, you know, it's a long process of getting a documentary completed, but that's how it all came together. And one of the things I so appreciate about Emmanuel is that he is from France, and he has, you know, a very heavy accent, and that makes me have to really listen to him. But he has an international consciousness. So instead of We the People, the Re-Evolution of Politics and Economics, being just American, he's got people from all over the world adding in their perspectives. And to me, that makes it really, really rich.
Yes, I've seen it. And I'll tell you my favorite scene, and I think people need to see it just for this. My favorite scene are the bank protesters in Barcelona who are doing flamenco dancing in the bank, singing a song that they wrote that lays out exactly what the banks have done to them and what they would, what the kind of redress they would like. And as my friend Caroline Casey says here in talking about the lack of creativity in American protests, what do we want? Better slogans. When do we want them? Now. And so I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant piece that we can borrow.
Yeah, I thought so too. There were just lots of people adding, again, just like a facets of a diamond, and giving people hope and options. And that really, it's a wake-up call for a lot of people who haven't been like you and me and others that we know, who have been involved with this shifting of consciousness for quite some time. There's a whole bunch of people waking up, and they don't know what way to turn.
Exactly. A lot of disinformation and missing information. That's what I so value about your work, which we'll get to shortly, because you create, clarifying distinctions that really weave together the personal and the political, the spiritual and the material. And I'm really excited to talk with you about that. Tell us more about the movie. There was something about that. I just love the idea of this re-evolution, because, you know, it's sort of like a understanding that revolution keeps us on the wheel and re-evolution takes us off the wheel. What was it in the movie that you found gave us the most hope and the most options?
I really like the whole idea that economics is consciousness. And that we're moving into an expanded range of consciousness, not making what we've done wrong, but it got us to where we are. And it's not, you know, what is economics anyway? And I've asked myself this many, many times. And to me, it's just the reality between a person's ears. You know, it's not a thing. It's not like a godlike thing. We sort of have it on a pedestal, and the economist said this, and the economist said that. But I am absolutely certain, and I proved it when I took on a consulting contract a number of years ago, and they were losing $90,000 to $125,000 a month for 9 consecutive months in their 39th year of business. And when I went in there, all I heard was from, you know, everybody at every level, and especially management, it's the economy. It's, you know, let's blame somebody. And I sat him down and I said, well, who created the, who is that economy you're talking about? And we had then the realization as a collective group that it was just a belief system. And then I brought to the table the idea that the basic premise of economists, first of all, is scarcity, but second of all, most importantly, is that it's the law of supply and demand. But as we learn how to co-create reality, and especially now that a new year is here, we really need to understand that we, each of us, create our own reality. And I've always found it amazing that some people in the worst of times succeed and some people in the best of times fail. So what does the economy have to do with it? But the real law that I want people to understand is that it's the law of demand and it will be supplied. That means with conscious intentionality and being a conscious co-creator, what happens is we step outside of mainstream consciousness and we create our own reality.
Yes, and of course, that's been kind of misconstrued in many, many ways. Of course, somebody once asked the Swami if we create our own reality, and he says, well, we used to, but now it's mostly made in China. So, you know, they're but I think that certainly the way we respond to situations is certainly something we have under control. And so I'm curious what happened to this company. Were they able to turn it around?
I was able to turn it around.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, because I went in and I taught them basic premises and about how reality is created and how when we change our vibrational frequency, when we have vision and we are aligned to our values, we're actually living them. There's just not a nice statement on the wall. And really aligning people to that vision. And it was amazing for me to behold to what people are really looking for today. They want to be a part of something. You know, they'll sacrifice immediate incomes. And, you know, in this case, we had to sacrifice some of the huge bonuses that management was getting for the sake of everyone. But we were in the boat together. And I taught them about being in a foxhole, which I've never been in one in the military, but my life has had a lot of foxholes.
Holy fox!
And but anyway, yeah, turned it around. It wasn't an overnight thing. And but within 2 years, one of the things that I'm real clear about is we got to get out of polarities. And either we're in the red or the black. And I go, we are in the green. And that's all I would let them. I would never let them talk to me about we're in the red or the black. We're in the green. And so that was an important piece. And then I had a cute slogan, and it had a big smiley face on it, and it said, we got our shift together.
That's true.
And it was, you know, little things like that, and building community, and really, you know, this current situation that we're in globally, to me, isn't as big such a boogeyman as people are making it out to be. Each of us can step into our own power, into I'm going to say sourcing our income in alignment with our soul's purpose is going to be really, really big. It was alluded to in the movie about, you know, using our work to do good in the world. But that isn't just a nice idea in my world. I really believe that, especially this year, is, you know, putting our heart and soul into what we're doing, not just taking our body and mind, you know, to work. But are we sourcing our income, whether it's from our job or from investments? Is that in alignment with our soul and our soul's purpose? Is what we're doing infused with our spirit? That's going to be really a major thing we have to do. The other thing is, it has to do with shifting of consciousness to an interdependently wealthy mindset.
What a great phrase. I love that phrase. Interdependently wealthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of independently. But I have a Wednesday night support group online, and we've been at doing this now since every Wednesday since last March. And interdependence is just not a part of most people's psyche. They may say it is, but it's, you know, when it comes to money, and especially inheritances or anything like that, it's me, you know, and it's like, it's, we're all one, and it's not just a nice idea. If I steal from somebody or rape and pillage the earth or whatever it is, then everybody is impacted negatively by that. But to have where together we're better, and, you know, again, I go back to spontaneous evolution, where you really hammered home this whole idea that survival of the fittest was not accurate. But that is the premise of most of our current economic policies. And so how do we co-create? How do we find ways to have complementary partnerships? How do we share our technologies? I mean, everything has to change, because money and wealth and capitalism and this obsession with materiality and, of course, making a living have literally thrown nature as out of balance as our national debts. So
good. Well, this is a good place to take a break. We're going to be back after these commercial messages, and we're going to talk more about how to become interdependently wealthy and what is in store for us in 2019. I'm talking with Janine Just. This is Steve Behrman on WikiPolitiki Radio.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, Steve Behrman, I'm back with my guest on WikiPolitiki, Janine Just. And I just messed it up. But I shuffled it around again.
Old souls' connections with me call me Justine.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting. It wasn't a mistake.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear all of my mistakes are not mistakes. So I really want to pick up on this economics idea, the interdependently wealthy, which is exactly what has to happen. If we're all cells in the same body, then clearly we want to work for the benefit of each and all. So I'm picking out three phrases that you used in your vision piece. Capitalism with a conscience, which is not an oxymoron, I understand. Creating real value in the marketplace, unquote. And a new word that you are using, equinomics, E-Q-U-A-N-O-M-I-C-S. So see how we can weave those together.
Perfect. So equinomics is not information that I brought to the planet, but I incorporated my work with a woman's work named Catherine Chardon Watterson. She has passed over now by 8 or 9 years. But she brought a model for conscious evolution into this realm. And mm-hmm. It's three times the size of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And with this whole systems model, there's three applications. One is general, and how do you consciously evolve yourself? And the second is applying it to finances. And that is what she termed equinomics. And so one of the things is, as an economic model, there's like capitalism, there's socialism, communism, and like mm-hmm. one column, and a second column would be capitalism, and the third would be equinomics. And it's what these are states of consciousness. And when somebody tells me, oh, I'm a confirmed capitalist, yeah, you're not going to talk me out of this, or whatever the rant they give me, I just give them my little test, and then they just look at me. Because I believe that the inner dynamics of the law of regenerative supply is a foundation to equinomics, so that everything you do has to regenerate. But it comes from the integration of spirituality and materiality. There's just the inner dynamics of this is very, very exciting when people learn it. But what I get is that, because I've been doing this work since 1984, and I brought this information to the public starting in about 1993, and after the big financial collapse of 2008, it was interesting because a whole bunch of people suddenly woke up. What am I doing? I just lost all what I thought was my, security and all this kind of thing. Prior to that, when I would share my information on economics, people would make fun of me. But they're not making fun of me anymore, because there's personal economics and there's collective economics. And what I'm seeing is that there's a corroded computer program since 2008 in people, and now they're confused. Do they go for money? Do they go for meaning? You know, is it one world or the other world? But it's not. It's making money while making a difference. And mm-hmm. in every aspect. I mean, it doesn't matter what industry, it doesn't matter. But until your listeners and others understand that it's not their fault if they're not making the money that they think they should be making according to their capitalistic programming. Because that programming, we need to delete, and we need to be consciously aware that there's an expanded understanding of how money and finances and all of this needs to work, not for everybody, but for a whole bunch of us on the planet. And there's been like, you know, you go to church on Sunday and then you go do whatever during the week, and you go to a spiritual center and you have a good time on, you know, Sunday or whatever, and then right back to making your income in the same old way. That's not going to work for a whole bunch of people anymore.
You know, there's a song that I wrote many years ago called Thinking About the Income, How About the Outcome? And I'll share that sometime. I want to pick up on what you on that phrase, the law of regenerative supply. And there's a lot of puzzlement about economics and what a money system should be based on. And as a follower of Carl Wilken, who created parity economics back in the 1930s, Carl Wilken said that all new wealth comes from the soil. And so if we're looking at a regenerative economy, a very blessed event happened this past week. Agricultural industrial hemp is now legal to grow in this country. And because hemp requires no pesticides or herbicides, because it grows like a weed and it crowds out other plants, you can make many, many products from it that are now used, made from wood, from trees, and from fossil fuels and other non-renewable resources. Regenerative supply, regenerative economy means that you're putting back in, that there is no away, that we're following the work of William McDonough, who wrote Cradle to Cradle, who said that every waste product is a source product for something else. So I see that, just as you said, 2008, all of a sudden, because they were personally impacted and the wealth that they thought they'd accumulated disappeared, many people began to look at, let's look at that economics once again. Let's look at that third way. So tell us more about that third way. That's not state capitalism and not exploitive capitalism, but is something else. Tell us more about...
I'll give you a list of about 10. I'll just read them off from the economics model, okay? So it's a whole regenerative system. It's not just pieces. So that's really important. And wealth is a resource for advancing humankind. Cooperative, based on sustainability, smaller, functionable, manageable. Acquiring quality of life versus quantity, wise use of human resources, valuing people's contributions, co-create opportunities for and with one another. This one's really important to me. Arts are valued as an integral part of the whole, to the whole of society.
Money very important.
Is a medium for transforming energy. Worker-owner co-ops, community barter systems, virtual marketing, people determining the flow of money versus, you know, financiers. And one that I really like in here is about, has to do with figuring the cost of the trash in the price of the products. Because it's got to be paid somewhere, you know. So one of the things that also is a part of this is where if you're doing your life's work and you've pulled out of the economic systems as they are, then instead of people tithing to a spiritual center, church, or charity, we have to get used to people tithing to us. How about that?
Well, you know, that's exactly right. You tithe toward where you get your inspiration. And if, you know, like that's, you know, we're having that through, part of how this radio show is supported is through Patreon, which is a way for people to offer small amounts of money on a monthly basis to sustain the projects they think are worthwhile. And I think crowdfunding is an example of supporting people and doing what I call, you would appreciate this, their work of heart, which involves artistry and heartistry, that what they love, that they're so passionate about it, and that they will make a difference with it. I'm watching, you know, my wife Trudy with working with agricultural industrial hemp, and the progress that she's made in such a short amount of time is fueled by both the passion for this issue. It doesn't belong to everybody, that issue, but I think people are coming to find their passion, their bliss, etc. And you know, it seems counterintuitive. You know, when things are constricting, better hunker down and get a job. But I think that we're finding that the exact opposite is true. That in the old system, there really aren't any. It's a bankrupt system. So part of this law of regenerative supply and economics is about essentially generating wealth based on value, what's really valuable in the marketplace.
Well, and doing what you love is going to activate your income stream. And that's going to be really big in 2019, you know, taking your heart to work with you, your heart and soul, you know. And every single person has a mission. I call it a vocation of destiny. And so it's not an avocation, and you have your vocation, and then you can do what you love on your avocation. That's the old paradigm. But in the new paradigm, it doesn't work like that. And so, and again, not everybody is in this place in their consciousness. It's not for everybody, but it's for every day the number of people that this is, you know, becoming a mandate for is increasing. So lots of doors are closing for people with jobs that are ending and all kinds of things. But every single person has a unique contribution to make to this planet. I believe we all came here with a contract. We had some bright ideas that we knew if we could come to Earth at this momentous time in history, that we could turn this place around. And I believe that everything that is needed to transform, you know, the air, the water, you know, everything is inside of people. But they've got to begin to turn within and ask the question, what does life want from me instead of what do I want from life? I want to get a whip and beat people. You know, me, I want this, I want that. And I go, hey, what does life want from you?
Ask not what your country can do for you. Yeah, whatever. But no, that's really true. That's why that had such a powerful vibration, because, you know, given our so-called civilization, we were totally detached from the natural world and the web of life and ancient traditions, and we're also separated from our mothers, so we don't get all that chemistry. And instead of feeling that the world is a place for regeneration, we get that we become hungry ghosts that have to get from other people, that we're, you know, what can I get from you? Hello, what can I get from you? And all of that. And so many transactions are based on that.
What I want to really share here is that we must stop looking at our financial resources. You know, retirement is a passé concept. That went out with our last generation before the baby boomers, you know. And we're not here to take up space. My opinion, we're not here to take up space and go golfing and travel and all these lovely things. We came here to get a job done, and that job needs to be done, and it needs to be done now. But we can't just look at our 401ks and our assets and all of those kinds of things, because I believe we need to take a look at something else, and that is, what is the difference between being rich and being wealthy?
Mm.
Most people just use those words interchangeable, like they say, I have health insurance. I said, really? Where did you get that? It's medical insurance. Let's call it what it is, you know? But yeah. The spiritual resources that actually create our financial resources are things like energy, meaningful work, values, visions, joy, integration, integrity, gratitude. These, and I have another test that people can take to find out if how many of these things they actually have. Creativity and imagination is what brings financial resources. We got it backwards.
Exactly.
Just think about spiritual values, spiritual resources. So someone, in my opinion, who is rich with life experiences, and that's worth everything. Not in our society, degrees are. But do you ever hear anybody say, I'm wealthy with life experiences? You know, wealthy has to do, to me, with bank balances and assets and all of those kinds of things. But we are all innately rich beyond our comprehension.
You know, that's really true. And, you know, the word wealth, by the way, the word wealth and health have similar roots. So initially it meant that you're rich in the good things in life, and we've gotten distorted about what those good things are. We've got a little break coming up, and then we're finally going to talk about 2019 with our guest, Janine Just. Yes, she's just in time. We'll be back after these messages.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network. Presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, hi, Steve Behrman. I'm back with our guest on WikiPolitiki, Jeanine Just, and we just have time, the next 10, 15 minutes, to really talk about 2019, how you would prepare people for this year. So just take it and run.
Okay. So every year for over 20 years, I literally drop into the energy of the new year. I used to just look at the numerology and then kind of go with my intuition. But for about 10 years, I've been dropping into this energy. I go in about 2 months before the end of the year, and then information just starts flowing through me because I am a conscious channel. We all are, but I align.
But you're conscious of being a conscious channel.
What a concept. So, but this year, in 9-year cycles, this has to do with numerology. Every year has a mission. Every year has a purpose and an energy. And what I find is so many people push against the nature's way because they don't understand ahead of time what's the energy of the year. So there's 1 through 9, and then it starts over again. And so we are now entering the third year of a 9-year cycle. And so this year is the only year in 9 years when we're supposed to have fun. It's like, you know, go out and socialize and you'll find your next business deal. And it's a lighthearted, playful, joyous year. And that's the energy of the year. So this year, we are dealing with a tremendous amount of apathy on this planet, and especially in America. And there's a lot of depression and there's a lot of anger right under the surface. There's just all kinds of stuff going on, and people don't know who to believe and what to believe and what's really going on. And so this year, it is about getting out of our head trips and dropping down into our sacred heart center. There's no wisdom in the intellect. So that's going to be one of our challenges this year, is to something we've worshipped for 500 years, which is the intellect and science. We got to let go of it, and we have to, I'm not saying to get rid of our intellect and our brains and all that, but we've got to shift positions, and we have to picture a heart holding hands with a brain and dragging it along rather than the opposite way. And it's literally time to think with our hearts. All of our wisdom is in our heart center, in our sacred heart center. And so getting there this year, breathing down into that area is going to be really, really critical. So the umbrella word I use for this year is called luminosity, and it has to do with light. And we're going to be noticing light everywhere, where the sunlight is, how the moon sets across the ocean, the lighting in a room. We're just going to be fascinated. All 7.5 billion people, whether they're conscious of it or not, are going to be fascinated with light and expanding their own light. And so the spark that each of us carries within us, and I don't, because I am in California, I hate to say it this way, but, you know, it's in a fire. They spark one another, and it just grows. And what we need to do is spark those little sparks in ourselves and in each other, and allow our sparks to become a flame. So this year, I'm really asking that in this huge battle that's raging between people's heart's desires and their head trips, that they become luminous ambassadors and optimistics, spreading joy, optimism, and love energy far and wide. And at the end of this year, that we have come out of the muck and mire of the vibrational frequency fields of pain and angst and all of that, you know, hopelessness and that kind of stuff. So one of the big challenges this year is going to be to raise our vibrational frequency, even if we're in the midst of turmoil, fear, pain, anger, grief, whatever it is. Joy is a vibrational frequency, and that's what humanity gets to interact with and learn this year. And you can't, just as you can't have a smile and a frown at the same time, you cannot feel pain and joy at the same time. They're two totally different frequency fields. So we're also going to have to figure out for each of ourselves, what is the difference between happiness and joy? And for me, happiness is short-lived. It's a good meal that I just really savored. It is, you know, a new outfit I have or a car or something like that. But joy is an eternal feeling that one has in their heart center, and they lead with that. And there's so few people in America these days that I find that have joy in their hearts. They're wanting it, but it's almost like elusive, like a helium balloon that's just out of reach. So to liberate joy is really important this year. And shifting, no matter what you have to do, to a place of optimism. And then capitalism with a conscience, that liberates joy. So, you know, how we source our income, we're going to have to take serious looks at all of this. And another thing is the feminine energy. Now, I was raised on a farm my first 10 years in central Wisconsin. I have five brothers, and I was raised German and Lutheran. I could give you the whole checklist. And so I really got into pain, you know, and I'm being a sinner and all those wonderful things. And I have never been willing, because I was raised with five boys, and I was raised as a boy. I was a tomboy. But when I was really ill in 1980, I had to realize that I couldn't treat my body the same, because I had to integrate my masculine and feminine energy, and I set out to do that. And I've never wanted to ever promote females in, you know, and people can do whatever they want and do all their rioting and all this Me Too stuff. But, you know, I know that my five brothers have a really, really hard time with the idea of feminine energy. And so it's real important to me that we don't go from one, like the goddesses, then the gods, and now, you know, go back to goddesses again. We really need to really draw out of each of us, whether we're in male or female embodiment, we need to be able to draw out feminine power. And one of my seminars is called That Heart Power Is Not Wimpy. And that was a retort, because when I would go do business proposals for different executives and things, and they'd say, oh, you and Shirley MacLaine, just get out of here with your touchy-feely stuff. And under my breath, I'd say, heart power is not wimpy.
So, yeah, exactly. Very courageous.
And, yeah, so it's going to take a lot of that word, courage, this year, letting go of routine, living more spontaneously, learning how to listen to heart speak versus head speak. I mean, that's another whole language, so that's mm-hmm. going to be really important. And then to really feel our feelings, harness the power of emotions, because our emotions are like our GPS system, and they navigate us through life. And there's a lot of people that have that blocked. Becoming aware of some of what I call the light blockers would be things like seriousness. Of course, you understand that.
I seriously do.
Worry, self-doubt, impatient, just drifting along, negative thinking, getting caught up in ain't it awful conversations that are going on everywhere. What I'm asking people to do this year is really not easy. We've got to take the armor off of our hearts. And in 1980, when I was very ill and had a brush with death, one of the things I was shown was that I had like prison bars over my heart. And I was told that if I would be allowed to live, I was going to have to take those bars off. Well, so this would be a great year for people to take the bars off their heart and create spirit-infused work, relationships, everything. It creates sacredness in our lives. A lot of social activities this year, you know, gatherings, traveling maybe in groups, you know, power-to-power places or something like that, people with like-mindedness. And I really do not allow any, I don't want to say, I don't watch any movies that have violence. I don't listen to violence. It's not allowed in my home. In fact, I've gone to different Christmas events here, and I'm appalled that they're watching football games when we're supposed to have a sacred Christmas gathering. What about talking with one another, you know? No, let's watch people beat up each other, you know? So, you know, limiting intake of media, because the media got hijacked and the vibrational frequencies that they're putting into our ears and into our energetic systems and into our eyes are making us believe that we actually are evil people and that love isn't natural for us. So, you know, loving your body this year, creating that loving partnership with your body is really important. And, you know, speaking our truth. And one of the things I'm asking people to do today is to make, this year is to make someone's day, to spread joy in the world. And I have these two words that people say, what are you talking about? But they're perfunctory tasks. Many of us have so many perfunctory tasks on our list, there's nothing that really, that very few things that make us really joyous. But we could take that call to the tech department, ask the person their name, they ask you your name, and ask them where they're at, and create some kind of a meaningful experience out of absolutely everything. No ordinary moments this year. And you'll be amazed at what joy comes into your life by stopping your car and letting somebody go through. You know, I mean, it's little things like that. So even if we're tired or frustrated or whatever, just commit to making all interactions loving and memorable. And speaking our truth, that's a really hard thing for people to do. I teach a concept I call carefrontation. People will do almost anything to avoid confrontation. But carefrontation, to me, is loving myself and the other person enough to tell my truth and not be attached to the outcome. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but my responsibility is to speak up for myself. So the areas of the body that are going to be impacted this year are hearts. And you can expect a whole lot more problems with people's physical hearts this year. The other is the thyroid area. And to me, the thyroid is about getting our will back, speaking our truth. And wouldn't that be just amazing if our thyroid problems were that simple? to mm-hmm. open up the energy to those thyroids. Another is, please turn off Wi-Fi in your homes before you go to sleep at night. You know, get these electronics at bay. Please never put a mobile phone up next to your ear. There's these technologies are a tool, and they haven't been, just because they're for sale doesn't mean they're good for us. You know, most of the time we might as well be sticking our head into the microwave oven because we're getting so much bombardment from radiation. And another really important thing, grounding with Mother Earth, creating an intimate, loving partnership with our Earth Mother. This is
wow.
really important this year. So those are just a few things, and if anybody's interested, they can purchase this whole manual of mine. I call it a playbook for 2019.
And by the way, thank you. We are going to have that on our website, so you can get in touch with Janine and you can find out how you can get more of this excellent wisdom. I know you're going to want to listen to this show again and again. So this is Steve Behrman. I want to thank you so much, Janine, just for being our guest and offering a huge amount of wisdom crammed into just a short hour. This is Steve Behrman.
And may this be our best year ever.
Amen. A women. A everybody. Thank you. And may the farce be with you, too.
And with you.
Bye, Janine.
Bye. Thank you so much.